I would like to talk to you just for a few moments from the subject, the heart of a mother. The heart of a mother. Let me share this short story with you. A small boy entered the lingerie section of a large department store and shyly presented his problem to a woman clerk. "I want to buy a slip as a present for my mom," he said. "But I don't know what size she wears." The clerk asked, "Is she tall or short, heavy or skinny?" "She's just perfect," beamed the small boy. So the clerk wrapped up a size 8 for him. 2 days later, mom came to the store by herself and changed the slip to a size 16. How many of you here today feel that your mother is perfect? Mothers are very, amen, amen. All right. Mothers are very special people, and some of us think they are perfect. Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." George Washington said of his mother, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual and physical education I received from her." The Bible even presents a mother as being close to perfection, as we see in the well-known description of a mother found in Proverbs chapter 31. Today, we are going to look at a biblical example of a near-perfect mother. And this mother is found in our scripture text in the book of Ruth. This mother is Naomi. From Naomi, we are going to examine a mother's strength, a mother's love for her children, and discover some things about a mother's personality. So one, let's take a look at the mother that we know that mothers have an amazing inner strength. You see, in our text, we are introduced to a very special mother named Naomi. And she had a husband named Elimelech. And she had two sons named Mahlon and Chilion. They had moved to a land where the food was plentiful, and they had lived there a number of years. And we see, however, the tragedy interrupted Naomi's life. Naomi's husband died, and for some reason we will never know, and she and her two sons were left alone to fend for themselves. I can't even begin to imagine the pain she felt and what that would have been like, or the bewilderment of not knowing how she and her sons were going to survive. The loss of her husband was the loss of a close friend and a provider. There are women here today who have experienced the loss of a husband, and you can identify with Naomi's pain. However, the scripture doesn't mention that Naomi grieved. It only shows us that she went on with life and raised her sons until they were able to take wives of their own. Then tragedy strikes again, for in verse 5, with the death of both of her sons, Naomi was left again with no one in the family to provide. And now she had two daughters-in-law to care for. Just when Naomi thought her purpose in life was nearly served, she had to start over again from scratch. She once again had to provide for others, namely her daughters-in-law. She had to play the part of a mother all over again. Here we see the demonstration of a mother's strength. The text gives no indication at this point in the account of Naomi showing any grief. It only reveals that she bore her pain and went on with life. We see this kind of strength all the time. Today, we see many single mothers left to bear the hardship of raising a family all on their own. A mother's strength is a great mystery to us. It is such a mystery that an old Jewish proverb says, God could not be everywhere, and therefore he made mothers. Mark Twain describes a mother as having a large heart, a heart so large that everybody's grief and everybody's joy found welcome in it and hospitable accommodations. Let's take a look at a mother's concern for her children. We see here that Naomi was concerned for the happiness of her daughters-in-law. For in verse 8, she advised them to go back to the house of their own mothers. Naomi knew that she could not provide for their emotional need of a husband. Her daughters-in-laws would one day desire a husband again, and she told them there was no way that she could provide husbands for them. In verses 11 through 13, we see Naomi's desperate plea for their well-being as she was concerned more for them than herself. Naomi was willing to sacrifice her only source of companionship, which were her daughters-in-law, so that they could be happy. She would give up her own happiness for theirs. Isn't it typical of a mother to sacrifice her own needs in order to make her children happy? There was a 36-year-old mother who discovered to be in the advanced stages of terminal cancer. One doctor advised her to spend her remaining days enjoying herself on a beach in Acapulco. A second physician offered her the hope of living 2 to 4 years with the grueling side effects of chemotherapy and radiation treatment. She penned these words to her small 3 children. I've chosen to survive, to try to survive for you. This has some horrible costs, including pain, loss of my good humor and moods I won't be able to control. But I must try this. If only on the outside chance that I might live 1 minute longer. And that minute could be the one you might need me when no one else will do. For this I intend to struggle tooth and nail, so help me God. I said that a mother will give up her own happiness for the well-being of her children. But to the mother, she is really not sacrificing her happiness. Her greatest happiness and joy comes from seeing the eyes of her child light up when she is there for them, no matter what the cost to herself. Let's take a look at a mother's personality. One of Naomi's daughters-in-law took her advice and left. Ruth, on the other hand, refused to listen to her and just look what Naomi did in verse 18. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Right here, we see one of those tactics that mothers use in attempt to persuade their children into making a good decision in order to push them along in the right direction. A mother might say, for example, if you won't accept my advice, then don't expect to hear anything more from me ever again. You see, mothers have a way with their words. They know exactly what to say in order to prick their child's consciousness. I guess you could call this, this is a form of verbal discipline. And a parent who loves their child will discipline them for their own good. In Revelations 3:19, the Lord says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Naomi showed her love and concern for Ruth when she tried to persuade her to return to her own mother and find another husband. In verse 20, Naomi said to the women of Bethlehem, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. The name Mara actually reveals that Naomi was marred by the unexpected death of her husband and her sons. The name Mara in Hebrew means bitter. Naomi was indeed very bitter inside. Nevertheless, she only thought about helping her daughters-in-law and putting them first. Earlier, we observed how there was no mention of Naomi being grieved or upset by what happened to her husband or son. She appeared to go on with life without a second thought as to why such tragedy had befallen her. We see once again one of the great mysteries of a mother. A mother appears to be Superwoman. Without a care in the world for herself. But that is not true. Oliver Wendell Holmes said, youth fades, love droops, the leaves of friendship falls. A mother's secret, hope outlives them all. Mothers have needs too. But we often fail to realize this fact. Mothers sometimes suppress their feelings in order not to bother their husbands or their children. Mothers possess a sort of secret strength or secret hope, as Holmes called it. We need to recognize this quality concerning our mothers, and we need to take the time to find out their needs and treat them with loving care. The story of Naomi has presented us with an image of a loving mother who is concerned for the well-being of her children. Every quality that was examined can be summed up in a poem that I will read for you this morning. Katherine Nelson Davis wrote the following poem entitled, What is a Mother? A mother is someone to shelter and guide us, to love us, whatever we do, with a warm understanding and infinite patience and wonderful gentleness too. How often a mother's means swift wrist, excuse me, how often a mother's means swift reassurance in soothing our small childish fears. How tenderly mothers watch over their children and treasure them all throughout the years. The heart of a mother is full of forgiveness for any mistake, big or small, and generous always in helping her family, who needs she has placed above all. A mother can utter a word of compassion and make all our cares fall away. She can brighten a home with the sound of her laughter and make life delightful and gay. A mother possesses incredible wisdom and wonderful insight and skill. In each human heart is that one special corner which only a mother can fill. Our mothers are wonderful examples of unconditional love. And unconditional love is an attribute of God. Let's celebrate our mothers on today to show our love and our gratitude for all they have done for us. As we celebrate, as we remember our moms, let us be reminded that God loves us. He loves us all with the greatest love that can be found in the universe. And if you don't know this God of love, then I invite you to know him this morning by confessing his son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior.
Let us pray.
Dear God, we thank you for this word. We thank you for giving us mothers. God, I pray that you would touch each and every one of us. Touch each and every mother. Touch each and every child. Each and every husband. Each and every mate, oh God. All of those that are here under the sound of my voice. God, give them clear direction. Let them know that you love them and you desire them to be your children. So God, we surrender everything over to you. We accept you as our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.